As they drew closer, she realized that it was a fire. "It gets very cold in here," Mrs. Watsit said, "so we asked her to have a good bonfire going for you." As they approached the fire, they could see a dark shadow against it. And as they went closer still, they could see that the shadow was a woman. She wore a turban of beautiful pale mauve silk and a long, flowing, purple satin gown. In her hands was a crystal ball, into which she was gazing raptly. She did not appear to see the children, Mrs. Watsit, Mrs. Who, and Mrs. Which, but continued to stare into the crystal ball. And as she stared, she began to laugh. And she laughed and laughed at whatever it was that she was seeing. Mrs. Witch's voice rang out clear and strong, echoing against the walls of the cavern, and the words fell with a sonorous clang.
"We are here!"
The woman looked up from the ball, and when she saw them, she got up and curtsied deeply. Mrs. Watson and Mrs. Who dropped small curtsies in return, and the shimmer seemed to bow slightly. "Oh, medium dear," Mrs. Watsit said, "these are the children. Charles Wallace Murray?" Charles Wallace bowed. "Margaret Murray?" Meg felt that if Mrs. Watsit and Mrs. Who had curtsied, she ought to also. So she did, rather awkwardly. "And Calvin O'Keefe?" Calvin bobbed his head. "We want them to see their home planet," Mrs. Watsit said. The medium lost the delighted smile she had worn till then. "Oh, why must you make me look at unpleasant things when there are so many delightful ones to see?" Again, Mrs. Witch's voice reverberated through the cave.
"There will no longer be so many pleasant things to look at if responsible people do not do something about the unpleasant ones."
The medium sighed and held the ball high. "Look, children," Mrs. Watsit said. "Look into it well."
"Que la terre est petite à qui la voit des cieux de l'île." "How small is the earth to him who looks from heaven," Mrs. Who intoned musically.
Meg looked into the crystal ball, at first with caution, then with increasing eagerness, as she seemed to see an enormous sweep of dark and empty space, and then galaxies swinging across it. Finally, they seemed to move in closer on one of the galaxies. "Your own Milky Way," Mrs. Watsit whispered to Meg. They were headed directly toward the center of the galaxy. Then they moved off to one side. Stars seemed to be rushing at them. Meg flung her arm up over her face as though to ward off the blow.
"Look!"
Mrs. Witch commanded. Meg dropped her arm. They seemed to be moving in toward a planet. She thought she could make out polar ice caps. Everything seemed sparkling clear.
"No, no, medium dear. That's Mars," Mrs. Watsit reproved gently.
"Do I have to?" the medium asked.
"Now,"
Mrs. Witch commanded. The bright planet moved out of their vision. For a moment there was the darkness of space, then another planet. The outlines of this planet were not clean and clear. It seemed to be covered with a smoky haze. Through the haze, Meg thought she could make out the familiar outlines of continents, like pictures in her social studies books.
"Is it because of our atmosphere that we can't see properly?" she asked anxiously.
"No, Meg. You know that it is not the atmosphere," Mrs. Witch said. "You must be brave."
"It's the thing," Charles Wallace cried. "It's the dark thing we saw for the mountain peak on Uriel when we were riding on Mrs. Watsit's back."
"Did it just come?" Meg asked in agony, unable to take her eyes from the sickness of the shadow which darkened the beauty of the earth.
"Did it just come while we've been gone?"